It's on. It's just not. Now it's on. See? It wasn't on. You got what? That good. So here's the long and short of for those that were not here. Okay? I almost didn't show up to my wedding because I don't like weddings. I didn't want to go to mine. I actually asked my wife if I could Skype in. And I was still really, really drunk. So, she did still marry me. I was still hungover from 2 days ago at my wedding, yeah.
Oh, God.
I was still drunk at the rehearsal dinner from the night before. Yeah.
You got drunk at the rehearsal dinner?
No, I got drunk at my bachelor party and was still drunk at the rehearsal dinner. Oh, that story? Okay, so we'll tell you another funny story. I'm going to have to edit this out of the recording because, you know, parents don't need to know this one. So here's a random funny story that, real quick, and then we really will move into this whole thing. So I don't remember a lot of my bachelor party night because I was super duper drunk. This is the stupidness that you do when you drink, okay? I got home, and my wonderful brother and my other groomsmen dropped me off and left. I'm completely, I literally cannot walk 10 feet. They put me in bed, and I guess I assumed that I would just go to sleep. Well, somewhere in this process, I decided that I wanted a bath. So I went and I ran a bath, and I probably fell asleep in the bathtub at some point, managed to wake up, and I was still extremely drunk. And because of that, I decided to go get in bed. I forgot a step, which is called drying off. So I got in bed extremely soaked after getting out of the bathtub, and Emily found out the next day when she came home.
Wait, why were you going home? I didn't come home.
Because it's my bachelor party. As much as she tried to show up at it, we did not let her.
Oh, you had it at your house.
No, I didn't have it at my house. I showed up at the house.
What the heck? Where was she? You said she came home.
She was at her mommy's.
They
have bachelorette parties?
Did she not have one? Yeah.
That night.
And I went to my parents' house.
Which is why she was not with me.
You're not supposed to see
her. Okay, so.
No, I stayed at my parents' house.
So that she wasn't staying with me.
Yeah, we lived in
September. Okay, so. Anyways, this back to the, teaching world, okay, random funny story. This is why you don't drink, because you do stupid stuff, okay, like climb in bed without drying off after the bathtub. Stupid stuff is not funny.
When it's not happening to you, yes it is.
Like, I understand that story is funny. It's funny 7 years later, but I promise you in the moment of that, the reason that I probably did all that is because I was so stinking drunk and sick that it wasn't funny. I should not show up to church drunk. I will 100% guaranteed get fired. So, and I don't drink like that anymore. So there's that. Huh? No, do not drink Dr. Pepper at all. We're going to John 2. Dr. Pepper is the devil. And Dr. Pepper is not the devil. See, there's a pretty little thing on here that says 23 flavors. Only God himself could put those 23 flavors together and make it taste that good. Dr. Pepper is from heaven. All right, John 2. We're going to finish off John 2, and this is going to seem extremely weird that, I've got two verses and then rolling into a whole other chapter, but I'll explain in a minute. Okay, John 2, 23, it says, because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many begin to trust in him. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. So here's the deal. Sometimes in the Bible, our chapters are broken up in a very odd kind of way. You notice how normally, at the beginning of 2, it has a heading on it, right?
Yeah.
And then, there's another heading below that. And then the next heading is starting at verse 23, and there's not one for chapter 3. Because it's kind of part of the same story. Here's how this worked. When they originally divided this into chapters, they based the chapter on what they could fit on a page. Well, obviously, we don't have that issue anymore. So I don't like this, but it's okay. Okay, it was done like a long time ago, and it's not going to change. So that's the reason that we're doing this. So, what was funny? Okay. Jesus didn't trust the people that were believing in him. They saw the signs that he did. They were following Jesus because of the miracles, not because of his mission. And Jesus saw what was in their heart, and he didn't trust them. Then shows up Nicodemus. Okay? So let me explain something real quick. I don't remember being born. Wow.
I do. I mean, I don't think anyone does.
I do.
That's a really good point.
My dad told me the doctor had to flick me so I cried because I didn't come out crying.
The doctor had to flick. Yeah. That normally happens. That's why you get spanked the first time. And you should continue to get spanked after that.
Yeah, flick me in the forehead.
Okay, so I don't remember being born. I remember the stories. I remember what I've been told and all those wonderful things. What I can tell you is I remember my second birth very, very vividly. I remember the day, the time, the place. I remember what I said to God. I remember what I felt like after the fact. This is where this passage is going to go. Okay. Obviously, we cannot remember that initial birth. That second one is the key here. All right? So, chapter 3. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After one dark evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." So who's Nicodemus?
The guy that climbed up a tree.
No, that's Zacchaeus. Jewish religious leader, Pharisee. Anybody else? Anything at all that we know about him? He was one of the people in charge. He taught people about God. Okay. So, obviously, he's a Pharisee. That's like our House and Senate, you know, in the country. Like in the government class you learned about. Okay. He's important. He's a teacher. If we flip down into verse 10 real quick, we'll get back there in a minute. It says, "You are a respected Jewish teacher." So, that was his job. He was a teacher. Okay. Now, the other thing we know about Nicodemus, as we read later on in John 19, at the burial of Jesus, we find out he was rich. Joseph of Arimathea takes Jesus' body, meets up with Nicodemus to bury the body. Nicodemus shows up with between 75 and 100 pounds of burial spices. That costs a lot of money in that time. So, he's extremely important. He's a teacher. And he's rich. Okay? So, verse 3. Jesus replied to him, "I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb?" So, Nicodemus shows up and starts asking Jesus questions. Why did he come at night? So nobody would see him? Okay, that's one theory. Another one? Anybody? Ideas? He was up late studying and wanted to talk to a teacher. Anybody else?
I like Alex's.
You like Alex's? Okay. He wasn't supposed to be with him. So, it works out that there's roughly three theories in this picture, okay? We don't really know 100% for sure. First one, yeah, he may have been scared, okay? We flip back a few chapters before into John 1, and the Pharisees sent people to seek out John the Baptist. Because we know the rest of the story, we know that eventually the Pharisees started trying to trick Jesus. So if he's actually trying to see what Jesus is all about, he may not want to be found out. Okay? The second one, like Derek said, yeah, maybe he was busy. Okay? Tradition tells us that the Pharisees would stay up late at night studying. And so it was normal for them to be like running around town after, you know, a normal hour. The third theory, maybe he just wanted some one-on-one time with Jesus. See, Jesus is surrounded by crowds like everywhere that we read. And so maybe he just wanted some one-on-one time with Jesus. He wanted some time away from the crowds, away from everybody else, to get that personal time with Jesus. We need the same thing. There are things that you cannot get in a crowded scenario from Jesus that you can get in a private one. We need one-on-one time from Jesus. So, verse 5. Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit." Somebody explain that one to me. Yeah? Being baptized. Okay? What else? Nobody? Yes, Alex. Accepting him into your heart. Anybody else? Yes.
Surrender yourself to him.
God the Spirit. That it? You got another one?
Give him everything you have.
And take up your cross and follow him. So, water. What is water birth? Baptism. Nope. What?
Drinking holy water.
Drinking holy water. No. Actually being born. What happens when a woman goes into labor? Her water breaks. Okay? So this is a water birth. Okay? What is being born of the Spirit? Accept him into your heart. This is your spiritual birth. You want me to prove it to you? Look at verse 6. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Scripture interprets Scripture. It tells us what it means. So here's the thing. This water birth is not baptism. Yes, Tris. We hope that you're waterborne. I don't know how else you got here.
No. So, like, there's water births where you, like, have a baby. You get to choose if you don't want a baby in water. But everybody's there. That's not what he's talking about. No, but, like, he's talking about water births. Like,
yeah, yes, okay. There is a thing where you can, like, sit in a bathtub and, like, have the baby in the... That's what we're talking about. When you're in your mother's womb, you're surrounded by water. I'm talking about baptism itself is not the water birth.
No. What was she talking about with the bathtub?
Another conversation for another time. Okay. Here's how we... Back to where we're at. Here's how we know that he's not talking about baptism. Were we as Christians commanded to be baptized at this point?
No.
No. So why can he reference something that we haven't been told to do? Okay? Somebody grab 1 Corinthians 1:17. Okay? Water birth. Yes, 1 Corinthians 1:17. Water birth. Spiritual birth.
Word.
Then read it.
No, let me say it.
For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news. And not with clever speech for fear that the cross of Christ will lose its power.
So what's Paul saying? My job is not to baptize people. If Jesus came to baptize people, he'd be running around with a water hose all over the place. That's all he'd be doing. Christ sent Paul to preach the gospel. What saves us? The gospel. Not baptism. The gospel.
Baptism is
a public form. So, because baptism cannot save you, then this water birth cannot be baptism. You know what that also means about the second part of this? It's not baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can't have one until you have the other. So this cannot be a reference to that. Okay? All right, verse 7. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. Essentially, Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter what you do to try to get to heaven. If it doesn't come through me, it doesn't work.
What does he mean?
He's talking about the Trinity. Yeah. Every religion out there that says, do all these things and you can get to heaven. Pay this money, you can get to heaven. Make this pilgrimage, you can get to heaven. Pray these prayers, you can get to heaven. Jesus says, it doesn't work. No man can reach up and touch God. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Anybody know what they're talking about there at all? That's not Derek or Troy, because they cheated. Okay, when he lifted up his staff, maybe. Okay? Anybody else have any clue what they're talking about?
Well, when he put on the ground, he turned into a snake.
Nope.
So, like, if you believe in him, then, like, you will go to heaven?
No, what is this Moses lifting up the bronze snake in the pole?
Oh, is that where he parted the Red Sea?
It's not where he parted the Red Sea. Nope. Numbers 21.
Word.
Then read it. No. So, no, don't read it.
That's what he told me.
So, here's what's going on here. Moses has freed the Israelites from Egypt. They're wandering around the desert. There's like no food. Except what?
Snake. Manna.
Manna. They got sick, and it's bread from heaven, basically.
How do you get tired of that?
Because they're stupid.
It's from heaven.
And it's all they ate three times a day for 40 years. So basically, here's what happens. They're in the desert, they're eating manna, and they're tired of it. And so they start whining. Oh my gosh, why'd you pull us out of Egypt just for this? So God says, all right, I got you. You want to complain? Here's what's going to happen. He sends a ton of snakes, and the Israelites, poisonous snakes, and the Israelites start getting bit. Somebody start reading in verse 4.
Did they die?
Read the book, and you'll find out. All right, do it, Tristan.
Then the people of Israel set out from Mount Hor.
Horeb.
Horeb. Where is he reading?
Yeah, whatever. We can be a little more mature than that.
But the people grew impatient with the long journey and began to speak against God and Moses.
Okay.
Where is he reading?
4-9. Numbers 21. Like I said. I said don't read it. I didn't say don't go there. I said turn to Numbers 21.
Why and have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness? They complained. There is nothing to eat here and nothing to drink, and we hate this horrible manna.
Manna.
Oh, manna? Okay. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. Then the people came to Moses and cried out, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away the snakes." So Moses prayed for the Lord, for the people. Then the Lord told him, "Make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. All who are bitten will live if they simply look at it." So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. And anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed.
All right. So it says, as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. What does that mean?
That means God told him to make a bronze snake.
Okay, so he put the snake on pole, held it up. What does that mean in regards to Jesus? You're making this way harder than it's got
to
be.
Jesus
went on the cross on a stick in the air.
And they poked him with a stick.
No. It's just right there. It says the Son of Man must be lifted up. So what happened to the people with the snake? They looked at it and got healed. So what is this telling us? So that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Okay? All right. Verse 16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants.
Amen.
I'm good with that.
What does exalt mean?
Lift up. So, there's no judgment for anybody that believes. If you don't believe, you've already been judged. God came into the world to bring light, but people love the darkness. Why? They don't want their sins to get exposed.
It's tempting.
It's not as hard. What else? I said that don't want to get exposed.
They follow the crowd.
They follow the crowd?
They don't believe in Jesus because they're
meanie. They don't believe in Jesus because they're meanie heads?
False religion.
False religion?
They follow the Jewish Jews because.
Okay. So why do we follow the darkness and not the light?
Because we're scared of change.
Scared of change, it's easier.
We're scared of people knowing.
Pride. Scared of people knowing, pride.
Ego.
Ego. Narcissism. Okay. Thank you, Sarah.
Welcome.
Yeah. We're sitting here told there's no judgment for people that believe. Judgment's based on the fact that we follow the darkness and continue to follow the darkness. At some point, we've got to decide to stop following the darkness and decide to follow the light. At some point, we're not going to worry as much about what the people around us think or what may be a little bit easier or whatever. And finally decide that following Jesus is worth it. Once that really begins to happen, then we'll begin to see change in our own lives, in our families, in our churches, in our communities. Until then, we can sit on the couch, watch our TV or Google or Fox News or whatever, and continue to complain about all the issues going on, and yet we're not doing anything about it. Save that for your small group. That's a great question. It really is. So, here's the deal. John 3:1-15. This should be a model for our evangelism. What did Jesus do when Nicodemus asked him questions?
He answered
him
back with questions.
He answered him back with questions? Okay. Not really what I'm looking for, but yeah. What did he do?
He told him exactly what to do.
He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't hem-haw around about it. He didn't say, oh, this is one way, but maybe not the only way. He told him exactly what needed to be done. We have, you know, like I said, we can sit on the couch and watch the news or read the newspaper or watch, you know, our Google feed or whatever and watch all these things going on, knowing we have the answer to the world's problems. But what does sitting on your couch do to fix them? Maybe you're sitting on your couch praying. Okay. If that's actually what's happening, then I'll give you half credit because at some point I have a pretty good feeling if you really are praying, God's going to say, okay, let's go. And tell you that you can stop praying, get off your butt, and go do something.
You kicked your leg up really high.
Not even quite. Anyways, so like I said, he didn't beat around the bush. He didn't give him, oh, this is an option. He didn't do anything of that sort. He told him exactly what needed to be done. Sometimes we're so afraid that we're going to be judged if we just tell people the exact thing that it takes to be saved, instead of realizing maybe that's what they needed to hear. Maybe that's what they were looking for, is actually the answer from somebody that knew what was going on. If you go to somebody and ask them a question, don't you want an actual answer? I mean, if you go to somebody and you say, like, number one thing that drives kids crazy, you go to one of your parents with a homework question, Dad, what's 5 + 5? Well, son, you tell me. Why don't you show me how you'll work this out on paper? Am I the only one that heard that?
No.
No, right. But that's what we do when people ask us about Jesus. Oh, you should come to church with me, and maybe we can figure it out. Or maybe you should read your Bible, and maybe you can figure it out. Or you should Google it. That'll tell you.
Googling is a
instead of just telling them.
Sometimes you don't know them.
If you don't know, why don't you know?
Because they ask us random, off the wall questions, like I do.
And then
they have no
idea. Like I do. I'm not talking about that question. Yes, Mariah.
I have a story. My this kid, these two kids, they one of them does go to church with me, and the other one,
it wasn't Christian's boyfriend, right? Okay. You walked into this like 3 months ago when you gave me permission. I'm just reminding you of this, okay? All right. It was both of you. But she just throws up targets for me to shoot down. So. Anyways.
I really do. I try to make it so easy.
So. Here, some boy she was making out with in the hall last week. So, but it was National Kissing Day, so it was okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Random side note, real quick. Let me inform you girls of something real quick. Money says National Kissing Day was created by some 15-year-old dude that couldn't get kissed. So. So, he creates National Kissing Day so he can get kissed. And you know what? You all fell for it. Okay? So, just because it's National Kissing Day doesn't mean you need to kiss somebody. That's a good plan. Yes, Alex. I just told you, because some 15-year-old boy wanted to get kissed. There is a National Prayer Day. It's in May? April? There you go. Yeah, see, National High Five Day.
I love National High Five Day.
There's a talk like a pirate day.
Okay. So, back to where we were. Like I said, random side note. We don't need to go there. Girls, stop falling for dumb stuff that dumb boys put out there. Okay? So. And you're how old? Should have been 5 years ago. All right. Okay. Yeah. Like I said. So, Mariah got ahead of schedule and went ahead and jumped in here for us. So, let's roll into take five time, then we'll go into our small groups.
I got one.
All right.
No. Courtney stole it. I love Courtney. She stole fuel. I love her. Courtney's my favorite person besides
Okay. Anybody else? We've got Mariah. We've got Sarah.
Yeah.
What?
If you weren't talking, you'd know what was going on. Okay. Anybody else? You've only been to school twice this week. That's not good. So.
I've been to school every single day this week. I've never missed a day of school. I've been late to school.
So you've been to school every single day, which means you've seen all these people and you've told how many about Jesus?
Why did you tell Jalen about Jesus? Maybe you can go make out in the hall.
You can't count. You just have no stories to tell us. Okay. Hey, this is not. Yeah. We're talking about Jesus, not makeout partners. Thank you.
I don't want to be stuck like that in my throat. It's called STDs and streptococcalitis.
What?
And mono. Not this.
Well, okay then. Obviously, we're done. Okay, last time. Any more stories? Yes, Troy.
So I got a new guy at work, and we were talking today about, just lifestyles and how to follow Jesus and do what he does. And it brought him to go, hey, I'm new to Texas, and I'm a Christian, too.
Good deal.
Good deal.
Anybody else? All right, so let's try and get stories from not the same three people next week. Okay. All right, y'all jump off into your small groups and enjoy.